60s. Do you need help with back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. Right now it's 43.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good morning, and welcome to St. John's for worship this morning. It is good to see you here. A special welcome to our visitors and guests this morning. We're honored to have you worshiping with us. We ask that you do us the honor of helping us to keep a record of your visit. And you can do that by signing the Friendship Register. As a matter of fact, everybody is asked to sign the Friendship Register, not just guests and visitors. If you're here this morning, please take a moment to sign that Friendship Register. That's the black book that's found in each row of pews. Why don't you take a moment to greet each other this morning? Morning. Today is our first Sunday in Lent, and today we hear from God's Word how in Him we are more than conquerors. To guide our worship, we are going to be following mostly setting one, which begins on page 154 in the front of the hymnal. But being that it's Lent, we are omitting the Alleluias and the Glorias. And so when the time comes when normally we would sing those, we are going to have the choir singing a hymn. With that, let's begin our worship this morning with hymn 939, O Lord, Our Lord.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship this morning. Pastor Timothy Kuski will bring us a message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture reading from Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39, More Than Conquerors. Our worship this morning follows setting one found on page 154 of the Christian Worship Hymnal. We will join the congregation in our opening hymn, singing hymn number 939 from the Christian Worship Hymnal, O Lord, Our Lord, hymn number 939 from the Christian Worship Hymnal.
Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The congregation may be seated.
The choir will now sing hymn number 652, verses 1 and 2 from the Christian worship hymnal, Lord Have Mercy, hymn number 652 from the choir.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. Mighty God and Father, our Lord Jesus walked into the wilderness to face the devil's temptations, but he did not succumb to Satan's lies or falter in his resolve to save the world from the prison of hell. Bolster our faith by his mighty victory, that we may battle against the forces of evil with courage and confidence, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. First reading chosen for this first Sunday in Lent is recorded in Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 18. God had spent many years training Abraham in his faith, in his trust in God. And here we see the culmination of that strengthening, of that training in faith, that Abraham trusts God to such an extent that he is willing to offer Isaac as a sacrifice because he believes that God must be able to raise the dead then, to such an extent that he trusts in God's promise. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He called to him, "Abraham." Abraham answered, "I'm here." God said, "Now take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains there, the one to which I direct you." Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, along with Isaac, his son. Abraham split the wood for the burnt offering. Then he set out to go to the place that God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go on over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." You see his faith there? "We will come back." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and loaded it on Isaac, his son. He took the fire pot and the knife in his hand, and the two of them went on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." He said, "I'm here, my son." He said, "Here are the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So the two of them went on together. They came to the place that God had told him about. Abraham built the altar there. He arranged the wood, tied up Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. The angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." Abraham said, "I am here." He said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Abraham looked around and saw that behind him there was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." And so it is said to this day, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "I have sworn by myself, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will bless you greatly. And I will multiply your descendants greatly, like the stars of the sky and like the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the city gates of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm for today is Psalm 25b. If you like the music for that, you'll find that in the Gray Psalter book on page 123. Please note that the cantor will sing the first verse.
We will now be singing Psalm 25b, found on page 123 of the Psalter. "I lift my soul to you," Psalm 25b, in the Psalter, page 123.
Please stand. We'll speak the gospel acclamation from Hebrews 4 together. Glory, praise, and honor to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness. We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Glory, praise, and honor to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is recorded in Mark chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Our Heavenly Father did not spare his only begotten Son, and we see that Jesus is thrown out into the wilderness to face the temptation from Satan, temptation which he overcame and through which he makes us more than conquerors. The Spirit immediately sent Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels were serving him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. The time is fulfilled, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the gospel. And this is the gospel of our Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. The congregation may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, 502, Children of the Heavenly Father.
The congregation will now sing hymn number 502 from the Christian Worship Hymnal, Children of the Heavenly Father, hymn 502 from the Christian Worship Hymnal.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of God the Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm a bit of a history buff, but I guess I need you to answer this question for me. Did the United States win the Second World War? Well, of course we did, right? That was our win, wasn't it? Well, I don't think any of you, some of you weren't even born. when that happened. How can that be your win? You know? I mean, that's far enough back in history that we're losing the people who fought that war. And yet we consider it our victory, don't we? I think that's very important to think about. Because that's exactly the way God wants you to think about His grace and His mercy when we read here from Romans chapter 8. God is the one who won the victory for us, and He gives us that victory. And because of that, we are more than conquerors. Let's take a look. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is He that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life and is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord. It's interesting the way Paul writes this and makes it so, you know, clear to us. He kind of asks those questions and then answers them again and again and again, reminding us exactly who's in charge and how much He has been in charge all the time. And it's so important for us to see that. And in the same way, we need to remember, you know, we remember those names from World War II, Nimitz and Eisenhower and MacArthur. We call them great victors, conquerors, who took our army into a country and gave us that victory. The only difference for us here is that God didn't need an army. God just needed Christ Jesus to win the victory for us. He did all the fighting, and He did all the winning, so that we are more than conquerors. Let us cheer our champion, and let us make sure we got a grip on him. It was about this time of year when Eisenhower, in 1944, gathered all his generals in a school that was kind of abandoned because they had taken all the children further north in England. And he had to explain everything that was going to happen on D-Day. And he had to give the orders and pass them down. This was a meeting of just the highest generals who were going to pass it on to their underlings and on, all the way down to the private that was going to storm the beaches. And at the end of it, he said an interesting thing. He said, well, I guess Hitler missed his chance to take the head off of his opposition. And then the meeting broke up. I think it showed in him a little bit of worry. I mean, it is just, you know, this is still a war. And the outcome wasn't for sure at this point. And yet, he also had the great confidence to make that decision and do what had to be done. That's exactly what our God did in that first line. What shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. If He's going to do this really big thing and give His divine Son to become a human so that He could suffer and die in our place, don't you think He's going to do the little things as well? This was huge. This was the big decision. God gave Him up for us according to the will of the Father. He made the tough and necessary decisions so that we would have peace, so that we would have salvation, so that we would have peace with God. That's what he was aiming at. Your God took the responsibility and made that direct and determined effort in Christ Jesus. Cheer your champion, Christ Jesus. Now, when we try to put our goodness and our merits beside the perfect sacrifice of God's Son and pretend that our merits actually count for something, that's when we start to struggle. You see, in the end, as I'll talk about a little bit later, we're the only ones that can turn ourselves away from God's love. We blaspheme and insult the Son when we claim for ourselves the ability to save ourselves. You trap yourself in doubt because in the end you got to say to yourself, well, what about that time? The one I didn't get caught at? Or that really bad thing that I did? If we didn't have Christ and his victory, if we didn't have that champion, we would wallow in doubt and despair. But in the end, we see who won the battle for us. Christ fought the battle against sin and death, and he won. And doesn't it say a little bit later in here that neither death nor life will take us away from God? Death did not take God's love from us. In fact, that's the way he showed us his love. Christ defeated sin by his sacrifice, and he demonstrated his power over life with his resurrection. Cheer your champion. And I love the way this gets into, well, there's mixed metaphors here. There's a lot about being a champion here, but there's other places where we win. And this one's a courtroom illustration that God gives. And he says, who is he who condemns? Well, he's also the one who justifies. Isn't that interesting? Who is he who condemns? Christ Jesus who died. And Christ Jesus is the one who came for us. The one who paid for our sins is also in heaven after his resurrection pleading for us. He's our lawyer, as it were, interceding for us. That's what that means. And even better, he's standing before the judge of all, who is our God, who sent him to be here. It's like we have the judge, the jury, and the lawyers all in our pocket when we're on trial for our lives. I think that's a pretty good deal. Because God set it up that way. God made sure that justice was taken care of, that sin was punished on Christ Jesus, and yet he also made it clear that his mercy was there too for each and every one of us, us sinners. We are the ones he loves. What an important thought for us. He loves sinners. He loves those who have defied him, who have gone against his word, have chosen other ways, and yet he still calls us back again and again. It's the love of a father, isn't it? Who, although grieved over the actions of his children, still wants them to be with him, still wants them to know what he knows, to know the grace of God and his peace. How wonderful it is to know that this is who our judge and our lawyer is. Let us cheer our champion. So Eisenhower, on the night before D-Day, wrote a little note, and he put it in his pocket. The note basically said, it was a note for his speeches, if the D-Day invasion did not work. He's going to say, I'm taking all the responsibility, the timing for this attack, and the decisions that had to be made were mine. And if it fails, and if it has failed, it is me that needs to recognize it. He was nervous. I can't imagine making such a decision, having command over so many lives. He knew that many young men would die that day. And yet, with cool resolve, he got a grip on himself. And he got doing what needed to be done. Now I teased you in the themes with get a grip. Eisenhower needed to get a grip on himself, sure. But this passage isn't so much on us getting a grip on our God, but God has a grip on us. Again, we see how he comforts us with the most important love that can be given. That even though we are sinners, even if we don't have faith, God loves each person. And he showed that by sending his son before they were believers, before they came to faith in him, and he paid for their sins. If God is for us, who can be against us, is the phrase that hits there. We creatures cannot overcome our Creator, your leader, your hero, the one who created you, the Divine One, loves you. And he doesn't want anything to get between you and him. It's important for us to remember that in Christ, nothing can shake God's grip on us. I love the way he illustrates it. Nothing in the spiritual realm, angels or demons. Nothing in terms of justice, life and death. Nothing in terms of our problems in life, persecution or famine or sword, can take us away from God's grip on us. Because he loves each and every one of us. And he will fight for each and every one of us. The sad thing is that we can lose our grip on God. We can be shaken by the realization of our own self-righteousness. And then perhaps instead of falling off on the left side, we fall off on the right. Because then we go to despair because we thought that that was the way we were supposed to live as snooty, perfect people. Well, no, that's not what it at all. God wants us to be perfect. He wants us to love one another perfectly. But in the end, he's the one who pays for our sins. Let's not fall off on either side. But knowing that he has a grip on us, trust that he will carry us on. Let's not separate ourselves from our God. Let's not turn away from him by being absent from his word. Instead, let's take the time to make a devotion time for ourselves, to study God's word for ourselves, to make time once a week to see him. Let's not let leisure time or family time or anything. Let's make this our family time. Let's make this our joyful time with the Lord. How important for us not to follow our friends in our world to destruction because, we might perceive ourselves as being too snooty or too holier than thou. No, let's get a grip and just show the love that he showed us. Isn't that what God wants from us? To love one another as God has loved us. So what God wants you to do is get a grip on those around you. To love those, even those who have hurt you. To love those who have sinned against you. To love those who have struggled to do it right. Who have struggled to lead perfectly. We need to forgive them. We need to love them. We need to take them and not let them doubt about God's love for them. Even though we might be angry with them, and rightfully so sometimes, let us not doubt the love of God, and so let us not stop loving as God has loved us. It reminded me of a very special time. I met a man who had been in Korea in the war there. And he was facing death. He had a cancer diagnosis that it was already far past the ability to deal with it. And to a man in that situation, truth and truth means something. But he had some doubt. And he came to me and said, well, he invited me over to his house and he sent his children and his wife away. And he said, you know what? That stuff about forgiveness that you preach, Pastor, is that really true? Is that really what God says? This man had been showing up at our church on a regular basis every Sunday for years. But when death came his way, he was doubtful. I didn't want to be in his shoes, but I said, yes, I do mean it. This is what God has said. This is what God has promised. He justified us. He declared us righteous. He gave us forgiveness. He declared you not guilty, even though we are guilty. And he set us free to live life after death. That is the love of God. And isn't it sad that so many modern religions promote doubt, even among Christians? They think that the height of spirituality goes hand in hand with academic freedom. Well, it doesn't. God has set what must be taught. God has set what needs to be said. And he doesn't want to add some new theories. It makes really good science, because we don't know everything, to doubt and to keep on making theories, but not in regard to God's word. So don't rule out the reality of God. Preach to them the certainty that he wants to give you here. Nothing can separate you from God. Nothing. Only you. Only you giving up on God. Let's not follow the practical joke Christianity that says, well, you got to believe this part, but you don't have to believe that part. Well, come on. It's not a smorgasbord. We need to believe what God has said, every bit of it. Is it any wonder that modern Christianity has been losing and slipping and in the hearts of all its adherents, or many of its adherents? They don't have anything to believe in. But let us believe in what our God has given us. Let's not fall for the ways of the world and turn one side or the other and fall off because we've got our attention on the wrong things. Let's not go after self-seeking glory or even false confidence that we think we're good and so then we're good. No. Some ways we still need to be afraid. Some ways we still need to recognize our sin and how serious it is before our God. And in so doing, with repentant hearts, we receive that wonderful gospel message of grace in Christ Jesus. Life is a gift of God. Just as our earthly life is a gift of God, so is our eternal and spiritual life. Let us recognize that it is his power that put us here. It is his power and his love that brought us to Christ. It is his grace and his mercy and his constant love for us that convinced us to get a grip on him. And let's hold on to that grip. Eisenhower, he became a president. He did not go down in history as a failed general. We remember his name, but there is a far greater victory that's been won, and you know what it is. Christ Jesus has already won the victory. It is an established fact. Just as World War II is now over, and as that battle brought us earthly peace, the battle that Christ won has brought us eternal peace, and we know it. God has gotten a grip on you. Be confident that he holds you. And then rejoice in your champion. Recognize how much he has done and know that you are conquering Christians because Christ has won the victory. Amen. Please rise. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are made holy. We continue with our confession of faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was the incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated for the prayer of the church.
We bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Lord, according to your will and promise, you sent your Son into our world to atone for sin and restore eternal life. You planned his path to the cross, and he followed it perfectly. Your Spirit led him to endure the temptations of Satan, but he triumphed. Your own people rejected his message, but he persevered. He confronted the blindness of unbelief, the confusion of doubt, and the hurt of death, but was not deterred as he proclaimed your kingdom to the least, the last, and the lost. Guide us to follow Christ by faith as we walk the road of temptation and trial. Spare us from falling into Satan's traps and steel our resolve as his partners to confront us, as his partners confront us. Teach us to use your word as a weapon to fight against all devilish lies and deceptions. And when we fall, and we surely will, lift us up again with your forgiveness and your grace that makes us more than conquerors. Hear our prayers, Lord, for the sake of Jesus, whose journey to the cross we remember during these days of Lent. Comfort and strengthen us by his life and death on our behalf, and thrill us as we look forward to celebrating his victory on Easter. Amen. We'll gather our offering.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. We thank you for joining us for worship today. As a reminder, our radio broadcast is at 10 a.m. every Sunday on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo. The cable television rebroadcast service will be shown at noon today on Spectrum Cable Channel 10, as well as Antenna TV 43. Our Lenten worship services continue this Wednesday at 3:30 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. We will have a soup and bread supper following the 3:30 p.m. worship service. Our Lenten worship continues every Wednesday through March 20th, and then our Monday-Thursday worship service will be on March 28th at 6:30 p.m. with communion. Our Good Friday worship service will be at 1 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. on March 29th. Our Easter Dawn service will be at 6:30 a.m. on March 31st, followed by Easter Breakfast at 7:45 a.m. in the Fellowship Hall, and our Easter Festival service at 9 a.m. on Easter Sunday. We thank you for joining us today and look forward to worshiping with you again soon. Our congregation will now sing hymn number 750 from the Christian worship hymnal, We Give Thee But Thine Own, hymn number 750.
We continue with the sacrament on page 165.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Give them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord. Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who brought the gift of salvation to all people by His death on the tree of the cross, so that the devil who overcame us by a tree would in turn by a tree be overcome. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. We give thanks to you, O God, through your dear Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent to be our Savior, our Redeemer, and the messenger of your grace. Through him you made all things. In him you are well pleased. He is the incarnate Word, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. To fulfill your promises, he stretched out his hands on the cross and released from eternal death all who believe in you. As we remember Jesus' death and resurrection, we thank you that you have gathered us together to receive your Son's body and blood. Send us your Spirit, unite us as one, and strengthen our faith so that we may praise you in your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we glorify and honor you, O God our Father, with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We praise Jesus taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. The congregation may be seated. We invite the communion confirm members of St. John's and our sister Wells and ELS churches. Please come forward at the direction of the ushers.
The congregation will sing our distribution hymn, hymn number 545 from the Christian Worship Hymnal, Jesus Take Us to the Mountain, hymn number 545 from the Christian Worship Hymnal. The Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran and Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin comes to you at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo or streaming online at max.fm. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at this same time. The cable television rebroadcast of this service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Spectrum Cable Channel 10 and Antenna TV 43. You may also watch our services on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook and YouTube pages 9 a.m. every Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in the 3-0 preschool through the 8th grade. This broadcast made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments address is St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 E Street, Baraboo, Wisconsin, 53913 are appreciated. The television producer is Wendy Grant. This is David Grant. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you. For more information about St. John's, you may go to stjohnsbaraboo.org. Thank you again for joining us today.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds will thin a bit today. Skies will turn mostly sunny and highs of the lower 50s. Light west winds developing. Overnight, partly cloudy skies will roll in. Lows of